This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم بارك لنا في هذا الشهر وزدنا منه ولا تنقصنا، جعل هذا الشهر إن شاء الله باب لنا من أبوابك، من رحمتك ومغفرتك وعتقك من النار إن شاء الله. Alhamdulillah, first of all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ramadan mubarak alayna wa alaykum wa ala al-muslimin jami'an inshallah fi anhal alam al-islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a time of coming together. We had the rare good fortune of having a unified Ramadan, with the exception, I think, of Australia, but they had to wait because nobody saw it on the Thursday, so they had to wait till Friday. But that's very rare, and it's a great blessing of the Muslims. It's a great blessing, even though equally better than every city traditionally had its own sighting. And so there were a lot of differences in the early period, but it's very nice when the Ummah is united on this. The Prophet said that when Ramadan comes, Sufi, that's a shayateen. The shayateen, the marada, are blocked, so don't have the type of abilities that they have during the normal days. So what I wanted to do, inshallah, we've traditionally done something in the Ramadan programming. So, but this Ramadan, I wanted to look at a book that is, I think, one of the most extraordinary books in our tradition. It's written by one of the great scholars of Islam, and he, oddly enough, is not, a lot is known about him for a number of reasons, but I think probably the most predominant one is that he was somewhat of a recluse. He did not mix a lot, even though he actually wrote a book on the adab of mixing with people. So that indicates obviously something about his nature. He was somebody who had an immense impact on Imam al-Ghazali. And if you read him after reading Imam al-Ghazali, you will see a lot of things that Imam al-Ghazali benefited from him. It's very clear from his book. So, I mean, I was exposed to him many, many years ago, probably over 35 years ago, with the Dari'a, Ilm Makarim al-Sharia, which is probably one of the most famous books, although his most famous book is the Mufradat. Mufradat al-Quran, which is just known as Kitab al-Raghib, it's the book that Imam al-Raghib al-Isfahani wrote. Since the time it was written, which is probably at the early part, at the outset of the 5th century, so somewhere around the late 390s, early 410s. And they claim to have a copy of it from, I think, 402, Allahu A'lam. In any case, after he wrote that book, it pretty much became the standard for people who are studying the language of the Quran. It's certainly a huge source. You will see him quoted constantly in the books from his Mufradat. So he's an umda, he's a source. Interestingly enough, he also was an extraordinary grammarian and linguist. He probably has more knowledge of the Arabic language than anybody in his time or after, in terms of just the meanings of words. He wrote an extraordinary book called Al-Muhadarat, which is one of the ulum al-ithna ashar fi al-lugha. نحوٌ وصرفٌ عروضٌ ثم قافيةٌ وبعدها لغة الإنشاء قبل وإنشاء خطٌ معانٍ خطٌ بيانٌ معانٍ مع محاضرةٍ والاشتقاق لها الآداب وأسماء علم المحاضرة. And he wrote, his book is called محاضرة الأدباء ومحاورة البلغاء والخطباء. The محاضرات of the أدباء, the أديب in our tradition, is probably, and I've written this somewhere, that it's probably closest to the understanding of a gentleman in the Anglo-Saxon tradition. So this idea of somebody who is very erudite, who's very concerned about decorum, comportment, how they carry themselves. The adib is somebody who has a knowledge of his culture or her culture, their history, the proverbs, has a fund of poetry that they carry around that they will use in appropriate occasions. It's related to dharafa, which is wit, the dharif, somebody who has wit. So he wrote this book, which is five volumes in the Darul Sadr, which is actually a good edition. It's an amazing book. It's a really stunning book. And he goes through all the different ideas that people think about and has chapters on them and has proverbs and poetry and history from all over up until the early 5th century. He's quoting 5th century Hijrah. So he was accused of being a Mu'tazilite. He was also accused of being a Shia, which are real false accusations, because he wrote a book called Kitab al-I'tiqad, and he delineates all of the groups that he considers astray. And so the people that he was accused of being among, he enumerates them in his book. But because of his philosophical bend, because he is a profoundly philosophical thinker, because he clearly had knowledge of the Hellenistic and probably the Indian tradition, and he does use aspects of that. His book, the Dari'a, is clearly drawn from the Nicomachean Ethics, although probably by way of Miskawe. Nonetheless, he is considered one of the imams of the people of Sunnah. The great Fakhruddin al-Razi said that he is min a'immat ahl sunnah. He's from the imams. In other words, he has a maqam, a station amongst them. And he said, wa qurina bi Abi Hamad al-Ghazali. And he's been linked with Abu Hamad al-Ghazali. And one of the honors that he was given is that it's Imam al-Ghazali did not travel without his book al-Dari'a. And it said that he memorized it by rote. One of them, he said about the dhari'a, ma absarat ayni wa la katabat yadi mithla dhari'ati fi shari'ati daftara. Farrigh fu'adaka liltiqati shudhurihi. Wahjur lihifdhi fusurihi tib al-kara. So he says that that my eye has never seen nor my hand ever written anything as marvelous as the in the Sharia as the book of Dari'a. And then he says, so empty your heart to gather its shudur. You know, shudur are the fragments. the pieces, like shudhur al-dahab, fragments of gold. So to gather together those and leave kara, which is sleep. It's a type of sleep, nu'as, kara. They say kariya yakri, al-walad. Like it's the cry of a baby when before they go to sleep. They go off to sleep as they're dozing off. So the kara is like sleep. He says, leave sleep. And then he says that, he says, la tastaghal an siwahu. Don't waste your time with other than it. فَكُلُّ مَا تَبْغِيهِ مِنْ سَيْدٍ فَفِي جَوْفَ الْفَرَى. Because everything that you want is in the جَوْفَ الْفَرَى. Do you know that proverb? Does anybody know that proverb? كُلُّ سَيْدٍ فِي جَوْفَ الْفَرَى. Anybody? So there's a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ actually quoted that proverb. So the proverb comes from, there was a Bedouin, he went out with his tribesmen and they were hunting, and one of them caught a gazelle, another caught a rabbit, and he got a wild donkey, like a himar wahshi, that they call fara. So they were boasting about their rabbit and their gazelle, because a wild donkey is not the best kind of meat for eating, but it's a big animal. It's one of the biggest that they hunted. So he said, "Kullu saydan fi jawfar fara," like all your hunt is in the stomach of my fara. So it's used for when you have something that you don't need anything else. And so Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, when he came to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, they had to ask for idhn to come in. So ukhira, like he was delayed coming in and he had to wait for some time, which would be unusual for him because he was Sayyid. You know, Sayyid meaning like a Sayyid of his people. So finally he came in and he said to the Prophet, he said, it looked like you were going to give permission for the rocks to come in of the valley before me. Because rocks are there for a long, long time, right? So the Prophet looked at him and he said, you know, oh, that could look, really? And he said, Ya Abu Sufyan, kullu saydan fi jawfar fara. Like all the, like you're the one that if they get you, they have everything. So in the commentaries, they say the reason that he said that was, he was letting him know that if you have to wait, everybody's going to be fine waiting, like to come in. Because the Prophet, he was busy, a lot of people coming. So the fact that Abu Sufyan had to wait, once that got out, then everybody would say, oh, expect to wait. Because if he waited, then everybody would wait. So that's the position. He also wrote in Tafsir, he wrote some amazing, two volumes of his tafsir have been produced. So this book, and the reason I'm interested in it, is this book, which is called Tafsir al-Nash'atain wa Tahsir al-Sa'adatain, which means Tafsir yufassiru is to analyze or categorize. It's to look at something bit-tafsir, you know, in detail, to really exposit it. The Nash'atain, Nash'a is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nash'at al-Ula wa Nash'at al-Akhira. So Nash'a means to create, but it really has the idea of creating in stages or degrees. And this is why the Darwin's theory sometimes is called Madhab al-Nashu wa Tatawwur, the Madhab al-Nashu. So it's like evolution. So the Nash'a has that idea of, and that's why tanshi'a is like tarbiya, tanshi'a, yunashi'a al-walad, to bring up the child. So it's the idea of a kind of evolution, but it also refers to the creation, the first creation, which is here in the dunya, that went through stages, and then the second creation, which is in the afterlife. So he's going to explain those two creations to us. وَتَحْصِيرُ سَعَادَتَيْنِ حَصَّلَ يُحَصِّرُ is to acquire something. So تَحْصِيرُ سَعَدَتَيْنِ is to acquire the two Sa'ada. So Sa'ada is eudaimonia, for those of you who studied the ethics. Sa'ada is a comprehensive term which has happiness, the idea of felicity, of bliss, of rapture, of joy, Sa'id. So in our tradition, Sa'id specifically refers to the one who is saved. And it's the opposite of Shaqi. So Shaqi is the one who is damned. So Sa'id, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ loved it as a name. And he was always happy when he heard somebody say, Ya Sa'id. Like he would turn. Because it was as if they were calling him. So the idea of Sa'ada is really happiness. And it's not psychological happiness. It's not temporary happiness like the happiness that people have in the dunya. Somebody might be happy one day. The law of undulation. One day you're up, the next day you're down. Do dinki dunya hai. It's that idea of, you know, you have ups and downs in your life. That's not what they're talking about with Sa'ada. Sa'ada is a state of felicity in the soul. So the Sa'id is the one who's saved. And so he wants to show us how to get that station. So he says in the Muqaddimah of the Kitab, and the Muqaddimah is always to introduce you, to tell you what the book is about. So he begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because the Prophet ﷺ said, Kullu amrin dhibarin la yubta'u bi bismillah fa huwa abtar. Any matter that is of moment or concern that does not begin with Bismillah, it's cut off from barakah. It's severed, which is troubling because the modern secular era, everything is done without Bismillah. Like previous peoples always did things in the name of God. Modern people, they don't do anything in the name of God. And so all these things that they're building, all of these things they're working on, they're cut off from barakah. And that's why they end up doing more damage than good. So he begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. وَبِهِ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is the isti'ana. In fact, the ba there, Bismillah, is for isti'ana, according to some of them. It's we're seeking the help of God. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So the isti'ana is taking the aun, the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ حَسْبُنَا وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. And this formula, Hasbunallahu wa ni'ma wakil, is a very important one. It's said to be what Ibrahim alayhi salam said when he was going to be thrust into the fire. Hasbunallahu wa ni'ma wakil. God suffices us, God is enough for us, and He's the best of guardians. So he begins, Alhamdulillah alladhi arsala bin nubuwati abduhu wa allamana ala lisanihi hamduhu wa raghabana fima indahu wa nasaru an yusalli ala nabiyhi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa an yahdiyana bi awdahi dalilin ila anjahi sabilin wa bi aqwa hujjatin ila awdahi mahajjatin qala Ubr Qasim al-Raghib. So he begins praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent with nubuwa his servant. And abd is the highest maqam. Because the abd, the thing about the abd and the reason that we had this in the world is to understand this. The abd does things for the sayyid and doesn't expect a reward. Because they're just owned. They're the servant. Maybe they can hope for a reward, but they don't expect a reward. And that's why the abd is the highest maqam in our tradition. Subhanalladhi asara bi'abdihi. He called him, he didn't say bi-nabiyyihi. He could have said with his prophet on the Isra. But he said bi'abdihi because the ubudiyah is the highest. The hur does things he's independent in that way. Whereas the abd is a servant. The abd is mamluk. And so The real servant is the one that doesn't expect anything from his Lord. La ikraha fid din. There's no compulsion in the religion. True religion is you don't feel compelled. True religion comes from the heart. Compulsion is when you feel compelled to do something. You feel obligated to do it. True religion, the religion of the abd, is the religion of one who's doing it without expecting anything, wanting to do it for their Sayyid. So then he says, and who taught us on the tongue of his Prophet ﷺ how to praise him, and وَرَغَبَنَا فِي مَا عِنْدُهُ, and gave us desire for that divine presence. وَنَسَرُوا أَنْ يُصَلِّي عَلَى نَبِيهِ, and we ask him to give benedictions upon our Prophet ﷺ Muhammad wa ala alihi and his family, and to guide us to this the أوضح دليل, بأوضح دليل, with the clearest of proofs, to the most successful of paths, with the strongest of demonstrations, on the clearest of roads. The mahajja, taraktukum ala mahajjat al-bayda, I've left you on this wide road that's clear, easy to traverse. So he says then, Abu Qasim, that was his kunya, Abu Qasim. And there's a hadith, la tukannu bi kunyati, don't use my kunya. They say that that's only in his time. I mean, there's a khilaf, but the majority of ulama said it was only for his time, so that people wouldn't have his name. They also tended to avoid that name, the Prophet ﷺ, because they never wanted to hear the Prophet, his name cursed or spoken ill of, which is why in some cultures they actually change, like they go from Muhammad to Mehmet, they actually change it for that reason. Or they shorten it, abbreviate it in other places. So he's Abu al-Qasim, and he's called al-Raghib. He's sometimes Mufaddal, sometimes he's Fadl, al-Asfahani. He was born in Isfahan, probably sometime in the late 4th century, around maybe 360 something. I mean, he was already active by he might have even been earlier than that. Bizarrely, there's a complete difference of opinion about his death date. So some say that he died in the early part of the 5th century, and that's Imam Suyuti's opinion in Wa'at al-Nuhat. And you'll find on the Wikipedia page on him that he died in 502, which is not possible. So some say he died in 535. So he's one of the few ulama in the history of Islam that there's literally an entire century of difference of opinion about his death date. So we don't know. But the strongest opinion is that he died somewhere in the early period of the 5th century, probably around 410, 420 maybe. He might have even reached higher than that. The minister that he wrote this for was in power in the late 4th century, so around 380, 390. So then he says, هَذِهِ رِسَالَةٌ فِي تَصْوِيرَ نَشَتَيْنُ وَتَحْصِيرَ سَعْدَتَيْنُ. This is an epistle. So it's a risala. It's not really a book. It's called a kitab, but it's not that long. It could be easily written in maybe 50 pages in short, in a tighter script. So he says about the نَشَأْتَانِ, وَأَمَّا نَشَأْتَانِ فَإِحْدَاهُمَا الْمَذْكُورَةُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ النَّشَأَةَ الْأُولَى فَلَوْلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. So you were aware of the first creation, the first نَشَأَة. Would that you would remember. So that's the first one in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. وَالثَّانِيَةُ الْمَذْكُورَةُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشَأَةَ الْآخِرَةَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And then Allah creates the second nasha. So this is the one in the afterlife. The second nasha is in the afterlife. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And then he's capable of all things. So don't think that this is going to be difficult for God to recreate us. And that's why that follows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Don't think that it's going to be difficult. So then he goes into وَمَّا سَعَادَتَانِ. As for the two felicities, فَإِحْدَاهُمَا الْمَذْكُورَةُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. So, O Bani Israel, he says, he's saying that he removed the Bani Israel, but in any case, remember my blessing, الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. So this was the blessing given to Bani Israel. They had many blessings, but the most important of which was they had a constant sequence of prophets. كُلُّ مَاتَ نَبِيٌّ أَتَى نَبِيٌّ آخَرٌ. So the Prophet ﷺ said that Bani Israel كَانَ يَسُسُهُمَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. They were ruled by prophets. unlike other people. So that was one of the great blessings. So the sa'ada that he's referring to and why he says, اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِي الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ is guidance. So this is the felicity of this world. It's not happiness that people think. It's not the happiness of having a lot of money, having big house, having all these wonderful things in the dunya. It's guidance from Allah. So he's saying, remember the guidance I gave you. Remember I saved you from Fir'aun with Moses and the miracles he was given. Remember the manna and salwa, all these things. And then the second sa'ada, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ. And as for those who su'idu, and also in Nafi' in others, I think this is in su'idu is in Hafs and Kisa'i and Hamza, but in the other recensions it's actually sa'idu, which is important because one of the things about the difference of qira'ah is they nuance meanings. And so one of the things about sa'ada is su'idu, that it's there, it's mabni lil majhul, right? It's the mas'udun are they're not, so this is a passive, right? If it was sa'idu, then it's an active, right? Even though it's intransitive, it's the person that is sa'idu. He's the one. Sa'idu, ya sa'idu. So it's both su'idu wa sa'idu. They were made felicitous by God, and because of that, they were felicitous. And this is what you see. Ya ayyatan nafsul mutmainna irji ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyatan. Ya'ani sa'id wa mas'ud. It's both. It's su'idu min qibrillah wa sa'idu fi anfusihim. So these qira'at are very important in that way, is that they nuance these meanings. So su'idu fafil jannati khalidin fiha ma damat as-samawati wal ard, as long as the heavens and the earth. So there's different opinion of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ma damat as-samawati wal ard. And this is where you get these weak opinions about the al-jannah tafna wa an-naru tafna. But Al-Dhahhak, who was one of the great commentators, he said that the samawat are samawat al-jannah, and the ard is the ard al-jannah wal-nar. So, kullu ma ya'luka fahuwa sama'un and al-arab. Everything that's over you is called sama. And so, jannah has a sama. Ard is kullu ma tastaqirru alayha qadamuka fahuwa ardun. Everything that your foot finds stability on is called ard, ground. And so, and others say it's actually ta'bid and adat al-arab. Like the Arabs will say, wallahi la azuruka ma damat as-samawat wal-ard. Meaning like, I'll never visit you, right? So that it's an expression of ta'bid. So then he says, وَقَدْ عَمِلْتُ ذَٰلِكَ لِلْأُسْتَاذِ الْكَرِيمِ أَيَّدُهُ اللَّهِ. And this is the Wazir al-Dabbi. So his name was Abu al-Abbas Ahmad ibn Ibrahim al-Dabbi. He died in 398. And he was a very pious man. So he wrote it for him. لَمَّا رَأَيْتُ مَعْنِيًا بِاكْتِسَابِ الْإِنسَانِيَةِ الْمُوصِلَةِ إِلَى السَّعَادَتَيْنِ. When I saw him concerned about acquiring humanity, his humanity, al-insaniyah, is a very interesting use. Because you don't see this used that often in older Arabic. It's a very modern, it's a much more modern term. Insaniya, his humanity. When I saw you attempting to acquire humanity that will mursilati ila sa'adatain, that will enable you to arrive at the two felicities. A'anahu Allahu ala istifadatiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help him to benefit from them. Hatta yasira hawiyan li naw'iha. Until he acquires both of them, the both types, the sa'ad al-ula wal-akhirah, wa muhamiyan ala ma'naha, and guarding the meanings, wa mura'iyan li khasa'isiha, and careful, like the yura'i, careful on the particularities of them. Faqad kada aw kana qawluna al-insan lafdhan muttaqan ala ma'nan ghayri mawjood. It's almost as if this word of ours, insan, is merely an utterance. على معنى غير موجود. It's an utterance about something that doesn't exist, a meaning that doesn't exist. وإسما لحيوان غير معهود. And a name for an animal that is not known. It's nobody has غير معهود. It's not known. كعنقاء مغرب. Like, or مغرب. كعنقاء مغرب. The Arabs, and this goes back to the Greeks as well. So in the ancient mythology, the Egyptians believed this too. There was a bird in the desert of Arabia called the Anqa. And every 500 years it would reemerge and fly. And they say if a feather dropped, a sage would emerge. So it's a mythological character. So the point of the phoenix, it's called phoenix in our tradition. And some call it Anqa'u Maghrib, the Western phoenix. It's also known, but the proper is Maghrib, which is the wondrous or strange bird. So he's saying it's the human beings like the Anqa Maghrib. We heard about it, but we've never actually seen it. وَنَحْوَ ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ الَّتِي لَا مَعْنِيَ لَهَا Or like those names that really have no meaning. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَ فِي صِفَةَ الْأَصْنَامِ الْمُسَمَّاهِ آلِهَةً Like what Allah said about these attributes of the idols that are called gods. إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ These are only names that you have named them with, you and your fathers before you. Allah gave you no authority to name them. وَقَالَ جَلَّ جَلَالُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا You don't worship anything beside God except names that you have called. They're just names. There's no reality to it. You say, ism bila musamma. It's a name without anything that it's naming. Like you make up something. You have a name like a unicorn. It's a name, but there's no unicorn, only in the imagination. فَجَعَلْهَا أَسْمَاءً بِلَا مُسَمَّى وَلَمْ أَعْنِي بِالْإِنسَانِ كُلَّ حَيْوَانٍ مُنْتَصِبِ الْقَامَةِ عَرِيضَ الظُّفْرِ أَمْلَسِ الْبَشَرَ ضَاحِكَ الْوَجْهِ مِمَّنْ So those of you who've done your logic, he's giving descriptions, right? These are descriptions, but they're not definitions. He says, I don't mean by the insan. And insan is really, it's a non-gendered word in Arabic. It applies to male and female equally. I mean, there is an opinion of insana. You know, insanatun, fatanatun, some of them mention that. But insan is human being. It's male and female. It's human being. And so he's saying, when I say human being, I'm not talking about this animal that stands upright. He's got broad fingernails. He has very smooth skin. أملس البشرة. ضحك الوجه. He's risible, right? Like he can laugh. ممن ينطقون ولكن عن الهوى. Those who speak, but speak from their passion. ويتعلمون ولكن ما لا يضرهم ولا ينفعهم. They learn, but they learn what neither benefit, what harms them and does not benefit them. ويعلمون ولكن ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. They know, but they know the life of the outward of this world and about the next world, they're heedless. يكتبون الكتاب بأيديهم. They write the book with their hands. ولكن يقولون هذا من عند الله ليشتروا به ثمنا قليلا. But they say this is from God in order to acquire some paltry part of the world. يجادلون ولكن بالباطل ليدحضوا به الحق. They argue, but with vanity, with falsehoods, in order to undermine the truth. ويؤمنون ولكن بالجبت والطاغوت. They believe, but in جبت and طاغوت. جبت, I mean, there's a lot of different views of it, but generally, in لسان العرب, he says, الجبت ما عبد من دون الله. Jibt is whatever is worshipped other than Allah. Taghut is anything that's excessive, like a tyrannical ruler is called taghut. And some say that the يؤمنون بجبت والطاغوت. Taghut was Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, who was one of the tyrants in Medina. So taghut is from tagha, excessive. And then يعبدون ولكن من دون الله ما لا يضرهم ولا ينفعهم. They worship, but other than Allah, what neither harms them nor benefits them. وَيُبَيِّتُونَ وَلَكَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ They spend their nights but with what is displeasing from words. It's not beneficial. وَيَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَلَكِنْ كُسَالَى They come to the prayer but lazy. يُرَأُونَ النَّاسِ Only showing off for people. لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا They mention only a little. وَيُصَلُّونَ وَلَكِنْهُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ They pray, but in their prayers, they're heedless. وَيَذْكُرُونَ وَلَكِنْ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا لَا يَذْكُرُونَ They remember, but when they're told to remember, they don't remember. وَيَدْعُونَ وَلَكِنْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ They pray, but not to God. They pray with another God beside God. وَيُنْفِقُونَ وَلَكِنْ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ They're charitable, but they're charitable only with just repugnant. They're not happy about it. They're upset about it. وَيَحْكُمُونَ وَلَكِنْ حُكْمًا جَهَدِيَةً يَبْغُونَ They make judgments, but the judgment of the age of ignorance is what they desire. وَيَخْلُقُونَ وَلَكِنْ يَخْلُقُونَ إِفْكًا And they create, but they create lies. So, and that's why in Arabic, khalaqa can only be used for God to mean create. With humans, it means to lie. Ikhtalaqa, it means you lied. Because we can't create. We can only make from existing, pre-existing things. فَأَهُلَا وَإِنْ كَانُوا بِالصُّورَةِ الْمَحْسُوسَةِ نَاسَ So these, even if they're in the sentient form of human beings, فَهُمْ بِالصُّورَةِ الْمَعْقُودَةِ لَا نَاسٌ وَلَا نَسْنَاسِ In the intelligible form, a surah ma'qula, they're neither people nor nasnas, nor resemble people. Nasnas, some say it's the apes that look like humans, like orangutan, things like that. Some say it was actually like a golem, like a creature that was like a human but wasn't. So this, but the Arabs say ذهب الناس وبقي النسناس. The people are gone and nothing remains but resemblances of people. وكما قال أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب كرم الله وجهه يا أشبه الرجال ولا رجال O you who resemble men but are not men. بل هم من الإنس المذكورة في قول الله تعالى وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا And like that, we have made for every prophet an enemy of the shayateen al-ins, the demons from the humans and from the immaterial demons. They inspire one another with ornamented words, delusional. وَمَا أَرَى الْبُحْتَرِي He's one of the poets. Al-Buhtari was one of the early poets of the early Islamic era. So he says... إذا اعتبر جل الناس بالخلق لا بالخلق مبعدا في قوله And I don't consider al-buhtari if we consider human beings from their character rather from their createdness, from their form. I don't think that he's far-fetched when he said لم يبقى من جل هذا الناس بقية ينالها الوهم إلا هذه الصور There's nothing remains from humanity except these remnants. That you see the forms, but it's just like a, it's imaginary. It's not real. And then he says, وَلَا مَنْ يَقُولُ فَجُلُّهُمْ وَإِذَا فَكَّرْتَ فِيهِمْ حَمِيرٌ أَوْ كِلَابٌ أَوْ ذِئَابٌ The majority of people, if you really think about it, they're like donkeys, dogs, and wolves. It's a very negative view. But there's a reason why. Which you will get to if you go through this book, why he's really trying to wake people up. Because when you look out there and see what people are doing, it's quite shocking. Because most people are just in their egocentric worlds, concerned about themselves and not about others. And then they end up, when the time comes, they're willing to go to war and kill other people. They're willing to do horrible things. It's amazing. So... وَلَا تَحْسِبَنَّ هَذِي الْأَبْيَاتَ أَقْوَالًا Don't think that these lines of poetry are just poetical statements وَإِطَّاقَاتٍ مَجَازِيَةٍ or figurative expressions, articulations فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى كَذَلِكَ يَقُولُ It's God himself that says أم تحسب أن أكثرهم يسمعون أو يعقلون إن هم إلا كالأنعام بل هم أضل سبيلا. Do not think that the majority of them hear or use their intellects. Rather, they're like livestock. They're even more astray. The reason they say more astray, Allah says more astray, is because one of the hallmarks of an animal is it's first of all, it's always vigilant. If you think about animals, they're always vigilant. Even the cows, when they're just eating, if somebody comes, they get up immediately. And if they think there's any danger, they run. You'll see them run away. If they see a fire, they go the opposite direction. If they see a tornado, the animals go the opposite. If people see tornadoes, they get their cameras out and they chase them in their car. Right? I mean, this is human nature. Is that the majority of people, they don't even look after their own welfare. So that's what he's saying. Is that, do you think these people actually hear and think that they're just going through the motions? وَقَدْ أَنْبَأْتُ فِي هَذِهِ الرِّسَالَةِ عَنْ جُمْلَةٍ مَوْجُودَاتٍ. I have told in this epistle about the summation of existent things. وَمَكَانَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْهَا. And the place of the human being in the midst of these created things. وَمَبْدَئِهَا وَمَنْشَئِهَا. Where they began, how they were formed, and how they end. وَمَا جُعِلَ لَهُ مِنَ السَّعَادَتَيْنِ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ بِاكْتِسَابِ الْإِنسَانِيَةِ وَكَيْفِيَةَ تَطَرُّقِ إِلَيْهَا. And what was given of the two felicities, the two joys, the two states of happiness, فِي الدَّارَيْنِ, in both abodes, by acquiring one's humanity, that's how you get the sa'adah. And then I show you how to do it. وَكَيْفِيَةَ تَطَرُّقِ إِلَيْهَا. كَيْفَ تَتَطَرَّقْ. You know, how do you move in degrees towards this thing? So that's what this book is going to do. He's going to show you, first of all, what you are. So this is an explanation of what the human being is. But then he's going to show you what you should be, what Allah expects you to be, and then how to get that. وَابْتَدَأْتُ بِالتَّنْبِيهِ عَلَى وُجُوبِ مَعْرِفَةِ الْإِنسَانِ ذَاتَهُ. And I begin by reminding of the obligation of a human being to know him or herself. فَمَنْ عَلِمَ أَنَّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ مِمَّا يَجِبُ أَنْ يُعْلَمْ إِنَّهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْهُ فَقَدْ حَصَلَ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ عِلْمٌ. So to know أَنَّ شَيْئًا مَا هُوَ مِمَّا يَجِبُ أَنْ يُعْلَمْ. To know that you should know something and that you don't know it is a type of knowledge. Like to know that you should know something and yet you don't know it is a type of knowledge. فَمِنَ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ تَعْلَمَ أَنَّكَ لَا تَعْلَمْ. Because amongst the knowledge is knowing that you don't know. وَعِلْمُ الْإِنسَانِ بِجَهْلِهِ أَحَدُ الْعِلْمَيْنِ. And this is why Imam Malik رضي الله عنه said, لَا أَدْرِي نُصْفُ الْعِلْمِ. To say I don't know is half of knowledge. And that's why when the great Zuhri was in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw a man do taslimatain. It's in the Aridat al-Ahwadi. He did a taslimatain. Because Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Kana taslimatu Rasulillah taslima wahida," that he would do his salam like in the janazah prayer, "Assalamu alaikum," just one. This is a khilaf. The madhabs differ on this. In any case, the point being, when Zuhri saw this man doing two, which was not the actions of the people of Medina, he said, "Where did you get that the second taslima?" And he said, "An fulan, an fulan, an ibn Mas'ud, anna Rasulullah sallam kana yusallimu taslimatain." He said, "I don't know that hadith." And the man said to him, he was from Iraq. He said, "أَحَطَّ بِحَدِيثِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ كُلِّهِ." Did you know all the hadiths of the Prophet? He said, "No." He said, "ثُلُثَي," two-thirds? He said, "No." He said, "نُصْ," he said, "نَعَم." He said, "half," he said, "yes." He said, "حَطُّ فِي النُصْفِ اللِّي لَا تَعْرِ." Put it in the half you don't know. وَضَحِكَ الزُّهْرِ. It showed he had a good sense of humor. He laughed at that. The point being is that to say I don't know is important. And that's why it's very arrogant. The modern muhaqqiqun, they always say, لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ. They should say, لَا مَعْثِرَ عَلَيْهِ. I couldn't find it, or مَا وَرَدْ, or, you know, مَا وَجَدْتُ فِي. The earlier ones, they usually say something like that. If you look at their tahqiq, they don't use that absolute thing. Unless it's clearly fabricated, then it is. But there's a lot of hadith that were lost. Then he says, وَقَرَى إِبْنُ عَبَّاسٍ مَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ مَسَّ نَقْصُ الْجَهْدِ فِي عَقْلِهِ وَذُلُّ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَلَمْ يَسْتَبِنْ مَوْضِعَ الْخَلَّةِ فِي لِسَانِهِ عَنْدَ كَلَالِ حَدِّهِ عَنْ حَدِّ خَصْمِهِ فَلَيْسَ مِمَّنْ يَنْزِعُ عَنْ دَنِيَةٍ وَلَا يَرْغَبُ عَنْ حَالِ مَعْجَزَةٍ وَلَا يَكْتَرِثُ لِفَصْلِ مَا بَيْنَ حُجَّةٍ وَشُبْهَةٍ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, very important sahabi radiallahu anhu, he said, whoever does not find some sense of the deficiency of his ignorance in his intellect, and the humiliation of his disobedience in his heart, and does not see the place of need in his tongue when it grows tired in when you're debating with somebody and it loses its ability to be precise. فَلَيْسَ مِمَّنْ يَنْزِعُ عَنْ دِنِيَةٍ. This type of person will never be able to free himself from low things. And he will not, وَلَا يَغَرْبُ عَنْ حَالِ مَعْجَزَةٍ, and he won't rise above his incapacitated state. And nor will he be concerned about discerning between clarity and confusion, between proofs and obfuscations. It's very, very interesting. So خَلَّ is need. So for people studying Arabic here, خُلَّ, this is one of the مُثَلَّثَات. So the مُثَلَّثَات, there's a famous text by Imam Qutb, which is the Muthallathat. And it's really important because you can really make mistakes in Arabic. So, khalla is need. Khulla is friendship. And khilla is the food between your teeth that you khalliluhu when you do takhlil. There's other meanings as well, but those are the dominant ones. وَبِقَدْرِ مَعْرِفَةِ مَنْفَعَةَ شَيْءٍ يَحْرِصُ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى طَلَبِهِ. To the degree with which somebody knows the benefit of a thing, he will be covetous in seeking it. وَيَصْبِرُ عَلَى تَحَمَّلَ الْمَشَقَّةِ فِي تَحْصِيرِهِ. And he will be patient about bearing the hardships in its acquisition. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي صِفَةِ مَنْ جَهِلَ نَفْعَ مَطْلُوبِهِ وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. So this is Musa wal-Khidr. So when Musa, somebody asked him a question about, was there anybody more learned? And he didn't know that there was, because he was the prophet of the time. And so Allah directed him to this man, who was given ilm ladunni, a type of knowledge that is, there's a khilaf about it, what type of knowledge it is. But in any case, it just says immediate knowledge. It's a type of direct knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when he asked, he said to Al-Khadr, هَلَا تَبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِمْتَ رُشْدَىٰ. You know, will you allow me to follow you to learn something of what you have been taught of knowledge? And the Ahl al-Tafsir point out that he asked with great adab by saying عُلِمْتَ, and use the passive verb. What you have been given of knowledge, right? Not what you know, what you have been given of knowledge. And so he says, when he says to him, you know, to ask that, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعِ مَعِي الصَّبْرِ. You won't be able to be patient with me. So then they go through their journey and he keeps asking him questions and he finally tells him in the end, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنَ وَبَيْنَكَ, this isn't working out. And then he gives him the ta'wil of everything. And what's interesting, when he gives him the ta'wil, he tells him, ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْتِعْ. And he doesn't say تَسْتَطِعْ. So in the first one he says, لَنْ تَسْتَطِعْ, you will not be able to bear with me. So as you know, زِيَادَةَ الْمَبْنَى تَدُلُّ عَلَى زِيَادَةَ الْمَعْنَى. You have more letters in the word, there's some more complexity in the meaning. So once he learns, he gives them the tasti'. He removes the ta and gives them the tasti', because now he understands. موسى. فَعْرَفْ أَيُّهَا الْفَاضِلِ. And this is something, I mean, he's maybe talking to the wazir, but he's also talking to us. And this is something that the ulama do. They, when they write their books, they often call you by your virtue, because they're calling to something high in you, trying to awaken that in you. So know the fadilat al-insaniya, the virtue of being human, of achieving humanity. Know the virtue of it. وَمَا أُعِدَّ مِنَ الْفَلَاحِ لِمَنْ تَزَكَّى. And what has been prepared of success from the one who has purified himself or herself. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He has succeeded, the one who has caused the soul to grow. زَكَّاهَا. So زَكَّى يُزَكِّي is to purify, but it's also to make grow, to make something grow. So you're growing in your humanity. And then he says, هي المكارم لا قعبان من لبن شيب بماء فعاد بعد أبوالا. This is from a long qasida that he actually quotes here. But it's basically, these are the مكارم لا قعبان من لبن. قعب is what you put the lebon in, or قعب. Like they still use that word in Mauritania when you milk. So what they used to do is water the milk to make more so they feed more people. But when you get a really generous host, he gives you the full milk. He doesn't water it down. And that's why he says that these virtues are not like the two qi'ban of milk, shiba bima'in, that have been mixed with water, fa'ada ba'du abwala, and then you just urinate it out, right? Like this is the real thing. You know, don't be worried or confused from ka'ada yaka'adu. Don't be worried or confused about the distance. And don't also be deluded by the actions of the one whose taq and riwaq impress you. So the taq is the garment, the taylasan. So he's saying, don't be deluded by nice garments and nice houses. Riwaq is it's what we call an antechamber. So riwaq is like if you go to a palace, they always have these large antechambers where people wait. If you go to houses of wealthy people, they often have a pretty big antechamber where there's usually like places you put your sit and put on your shoes or something. So that's what he's saying. Don't be impressed by those things. فَإِنْ جَاوَزْتَ كِسْوَتُهُ إِلَيْهِ فَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ أَبَّدَانِ قَرْيَةَ. There's a proverb, لَيْسَ وَرَاءَ أَبَّدَانِ قَرْيَةَ, meaning after أَبَدَان there's nothing. Like in Morocco they say, فَاسْ وَمَكْنَاسْ مَا وَرَهَا النَّاسِ. After Fez and Meknes, there's no people. So it's the same idea. So he's saying, once you get past the clothes, you'll see there's nothing there. You'll see he's a servant of stones, wamadar and mud, or bahima or animals, or dha'ina or their vehicle, like a car or something. I mean, dha'ina is the rahila, but now he would say car. Like people that, I mean, these people that collect, like, you know, these wealthy people, how many cars do you need? How many? It's amazing. They'll have all these cars. How many cars do you need? Well, how many to get to where? You can only be in one place at one time. You can only be in one room at one time. If you have a palace with 50 rooms, you can only be in one at one time. It's like the, the billionaire who celebrated her birthday with two. The daughter of the billionaire who celebrated her birthday with two birthday cakes. You know, I mean, how much can you eat? So that's what he's saying. It's just, and that's why he quotes the Prophet ﷺ, كَمَا ذَمَّهُ النَّبِيِّ. The Prophet ﷺ, he censured this one. تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمْ تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّنَارْ تَعِسَ وَانْتَكَسْ وَإِذَا شِيكَ فَلَنْتَقَشْ. So he says, you know, ta'isa is a negative term. Ta'asan lahu, you know, perish. Perish the servant of the dirham. Perish the servant of the dinar. There's a riwayah from Imam Ali radiallahu anhu who says, ad-dinar dinu nar wa dirham daru ham. You know, the dinar is is the way of hell, and the dirham is just an abode of stress, daruham. So he says here, ta'isa wa intakas, perish and you know, fall back, get sick again. Wa idha shika fa intaqash, and this is like a dua. May the tweezers fail, you know, like the thorns. If he gets a thorn, may he fail to get it out. The minqash is what they use to pull the thorn out. So فَإِذَا شِيكَ فَلَنْتَقَشْ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ يَحْسُنُ بِذِي هِمَّةٍ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ فِي خَلْقِهِ وَخُلُقِهِ وَقَيَّضَ لَهُ مِنْ رَبَّاهُ فَأَحْسَنَ تَرْبِيَتُهُ وَأَزَاحَ فِي مُعَوَنَتِهِ بَعْدَ بُلُوغِهِ. He says عِلَّتُهُ in the text. I think that might be عَلَّتُهُ, Allahu A'lam. أن يرضى بأن يكون حيوانا وقد أمكنه أن يصير إنسانا وبأن يكون إنسانا وقد أمكنه أن يصير ملكا وبأن يكون ملكا وقد أمكنه أن يصير ملكا في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. Know that it's not appropriate for anybody who has real aspiration that Allah has done so much for them in their creation and in their character, and has given them those who raised them and did a good job at raising them and removed from them by his providential care once they achieve their adulthood any weakness. Also, Allah is things that, the toys, ما يتلحى به لعله. So it's like once you reach bulugh, you're not playing, you're not a child anymore. When we were children, we did the things of children. Now that we're adults, let us do the things that adults do. So, وَأَنْ يَرْضَى بِأَنْ يَكُونَ حَيْوَانٌ, or that he would be content that he should be content that he's an animal and Allah has given him the ability to become a human, or that he's a human and Allah has given him the ability to become an angel, or an angel and Allah has given him the ability to be a king. Like, how could you be content if you have the potential, if Allah has given you the God-given potential to achieve higher and higher heights while you have this time on earth? What are you doing? What are you doing with your lives? Why are you wasting your lives not achieving your human potential? And that's why في مقعد صدق عند ملك مقتدر, sitting in this true station with the all-powerful king. فتقوم الملائكة بخدمته كما قال الله تعالى والملائكة يدخلون عليهم من كل باب سلام عليكم بما صبرتم فنعم عقب الدار. Or the angels are at your service because they pray for you and they say, dunya, serve the one who serves Allah and tire out the one who serves you. So the angels, when they enter in upon them from every door, they say, peace be upon you because of your patience. What a blessed final abode you have. وفقنا الله تعالى لذلك ولا جعلنا من الكسالى الموصوفين بقوله تعالى لو كان عرضا قريبا قريبا وسفرا قاصدا لاتبعوك ولكن بعدت عليهم الشقة. سبحان الله. So may Allah give us tawfiq to be like that, and may He not make us among the lazy ones, the ones that He describes in His word. لو كان عرضا قريبا, if it was near غنيمة. This was said about the منافقون when they were told to go out in Tabuk and they chose not to go out. They made excuses. Oh, we have to farm, we have to do this, that. But had it been easy pickings, وسفرا قاصدا, or a close nearby journey, لتبعوك, they would have followed you. ولكن بعدت عليهم الشقة. But they saw, شقة is سفر بعيد. Right? Shukka. That's why yashukka alayk. When you go on a journey, yashukka alayk. For shukka is ba'id. It's a long journey. So he's saying, the most amazing thing about this book to me is how he uses the Quran. I haven't seen any other scholar use the Quran with the facility, the ease with which he uses the Quran to substantiate every single thing he says. So he's saying, this is a hard journey. It's a tough journey. It's not easy. This is difficult. But don't be like those people who think, oh, it's just, if it was an easy thing. If it's not hard, it's not worth it. There's nothing in this dunya Allah gives you with ease that's worth anything. And that's why people are honored who master things, even stupid things. You know, people can shoot three-pointers one after another, and they're just held up. Why? Because they went out every day for 8 hours a day, and they wasted their entire youth mastering how to put a ball into a hoop. And because they did that, because they went through that difficulty and that discipline, people acknowledge it. That's the dunya. People will acknowledge excellence, but they will not acknowledge batala. They won't acknowledge the hobo or the bum. You can have all your sentimentality about these things. We're all equal. We're not all equal. We're not all equal. We're given equal capacity to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to some degree. In other words, everybody has the ability, from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high, to have some degree of knowledge of Allah. But people are vessels. There's quarts, there's pints, there's little thumb, those thimbles. But everybody can have the cream that God has designated to know Him. And so He's saying it's difficult. Don't be like those munafiqun, who they would have followed you had they not seen, this journey is too difficult, it's too hard. جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْمَوْصُوفِينَ بِقَدْرِهِ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. Those who the Sakina came down in the hearts of the believers in order for them to increase in faith with their already existing faith. So they're growing. وَبِقَوْلِ أُولَئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَأَيَّدُهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهِ. Those who Allah has decreed, has written in their hearts faith, and has supported them with ruh minhu. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ used the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, ruh al-Qudus. He said when Hassan ibn Thabit was going to recite some poetry against the mushrikeen, he said, "Ahju wa ayyadaka bi ruh al-Qudus." So there's angelic inspiration, there's angels that will inspire you. There's your own ruh will be supported. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you lutf and enable you. حَتَّى لَا نَغْتَرَّ بِمَا هُوَ كَالسَّرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسِبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا. So don't be like the people, their actions are like a mirage. بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسِبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. The one who's thirsty sees water, the mirage in the desert. He sees water. And then he comes to it and he finds nothing. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ. That's where he'll realize, oh, I wasted my life. وَجَدَ اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابُهُ. Allah will then requite him for his bad deeds. وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابُ. Allah is quick in reckoning. What time is it? 6:30. So that's the first chapter, that's Muqaddimah. Let me quickly go through just so you can get an idea of what he's going to do. This is not long. So the first chapter, which I'll do in the next class, which to me is one of the most important. I mean, the nice thing about this book is it answers most of the questions people have. And this book is not just for Muslims. This book is an anthropology based on reality. It really is. Anybody that reads this with an open heart, I think they have to realize that the profound truth of what's in this book is just so clear. And he covers everything. He tells us the seven reasons why people differ in their abilities. The first one being genetics. He calls it qina wa amzija. You know, the actual material that you're made of. People are made of different material. We don't know. These are mysteries of why some people are given, some people have immense health in this life, some people have great health tribulations. These are the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined. Some people can eat all they want, they don't gain any weight. Other people eat not even very much and they gain a lot of weight. These are the genetics of people that differ based on where you came from, who your parents were, who your ancestors were, what type of food you were raised on, many, many things. But he goes through all of them. He explains the mystery of iniquity. It's amazing, his understanding of why evil afflicts people and comes down to them. So the first chapter is ma'rifat al-insan nafsu, is self-knowledge, like the importance of self-knowledge and why self-knowledge and knowledge of God are so inextricably bound, why they're so related. The second chapter is dhikru ajnas al-mawjudat, looking at the different genuses of existent things, wa mawdi' al-insan minha, and the position that the human being has in those things. The third chapter, dhikru al-anasir allati ujidat al-insanu minha, the elements that the human being was created from them. The fourth chapter, ذِكْرُ قُوَّ الْأَشْيَاءَ الَّتِي جُمِعَتْ فِي الْإِنسَانِ, looking at the potentialities that are gathered in the human being. تَكَوَّنَ الْإِنسَانِ شَيْئًا فَشَيْئًا. The fifth chapter looks at how the human being was created one thing after another, حَتَّى يَصِيرَ إِنسَانًا كَامِلًا, until he becomes a complete human being. And it's amazing because he shows how Adam went through seven stages, and each one of us go through seven stages in the wombs of our mothers. So he shows how the khalq of Adam and our khalq is related. And then in the sixth chapter, ظهور الإنسان في شعر الموجودات وتخصيصي بقوة شيء فشيء منها, is the manifestation of the human being as this, amidst all of these created things, this special position that he has been given. The seventh is mahiyatul insan. What is the essence of the human being? What's his essence? The eighth chapter, al insan mustalahan lid-darain, why the human being is uniquely created for these two abodes. He's uniquely made commensurable with these two abodes. The ninth chapter is tamthiru dhatul insan wa taswiruhu, is the analogies of the essence of the human being and its conceptualization. The 10th chapter, كون الإنسان هو المقصود من العالم وإيجاد ما عداه لأجله, that the human being is the purpose of the entire world and everything other than it was created for him. وَالَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, he has subjugated everything. This is called the strong anthropic principle, that everything is clearly suited for the human being. The 11th chapter is الْغَرَضَ الَّذِي لِأَجْلِهِ أُوجِدَ الْإِنسَانِ, the aim that for its reason or its purpose the human being was created. The 12th chapter, تفاوت الناس ومنازلهم واختلافهم, the differences of the differences that human beings have, يتفاوتون, how they differ with one another. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that my ummah will remain well as long ما زال يتفاوتون, as long as there's people of different degrees in the community. He said, فَإِذَا تَسَوَّ هَلَكُوا, when they all become the same, mediocrity, with this the modern world, is to make everybody the same. You know, they talk about equity and equality and all these things, to make everybody the same, to remove excellence from the world, to remove those things which distinguish people from other people. Give all the children get a trophy, so there's no first place. Everybody feels good about themselves. Everybody feels wonderful about being mediocre, right? This is the modern world, and that's what he's and this is what C.S. Lewis in The Abolition of Man makes that incredible prescient argument about what's coming, when everything will be about equality. We're equal before the law. Everybody should have equality before the law, but there's no equality in the world. Equality is a mathematical concept, and even equality before the law, you're lucky. I mean, it's very difficult to get equal judge, because people can afford better lawyers than other people. There's always those problems. One would hope there should be, and we should strive for equality before the law, and we should strive for greater, more equitable world in terms of the needs of people. That's true. But this idea that we're all going to be the same, this communist idea, what they call the immanentization of the eschaton, you know, bringing down the paradise. Even in paradise, there's differences. There's hierarchy in paradise. Even in paradise, there's outstrippers. As-sabiqun. As-sabiqun. Ula'ika al-muqarrabun. The sabiqun aren't the same as ashab al-yamin. Ashab al-yamin are not the same as ashab al-shimal. Not the same. You're born into a hierarchy when you come into the world. Your parents, you're born into a family. There's an older brother, older sister. This is going to determine qualities even in your personality. I mean, just being born into a family is born into a hierarchy, your father and your mother. But they want to remove all of that. So parents don't have rights over their children. If a child wants to go get an operation when they're still a child, you know, what right does a parent have? I mean, this is the type of world. It's a madness. And people go mad. Societies go mad. This happened many times in history. Societies go mad. So he explains why people differ. And then there's different stations. The Prophet said, "Umirtu unazzila an-nas manazilahum." I was commanded to treat people according to their manzila. And there's otherworldly manzila, and then there's worldly manzila. I mean, one of the last bastions of respect is with medical doctors. They still call them doctor. But teachers now, a teacher is just first name basis. You know, everybody's first name. Hello, hello, like first name. I mean, there was a time when nobody would call you by your first name. They would call you by your family name. Or they would say, like the Arabs say, Abu Yahya or, you know, Ibn Fulan, something. But this familiarity breeds contempt. You know, this world where everybody's the same, you know, buddy, buddy, pow, pow, you know, slap on the back. It's not the world that breeds excellence. It's the world that breeds slavish, empty, vacuous, mediocre at best people. That's the world. Honoring excellence is something part of our religion. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-'abdi dha. Allah has decreed excellence in everything. And so those people that do those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will love them. And when He loves them, He puts their love in the hearts of people. That's if you want people to like you, just be excellent with everything you do with God, and God will put the love in the people's heart. If you try to acquire the love of people, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. And then he says, "Bayan al-shajara nabawiya wa fadluha 'ala jawhari sa'ir al-bariyah," also explaining prophetic lineage and why it's preferred essentially over the rest of creation. Hidayatu al-ashya' ila masalihiha, how God guides everything to its benefit. Sa'adatu al-insan wa nuzu'u ilayha, the felicity of the human being and his inclination towards it. Halul insan fi dunyahu, the state of man in this world. Wama yahtaju ila an yatazawwada minha, and what each human being needs to take as provision from this world. The 13th chapter, the 18th chapter, tadhahar al-aql wa shar', the aql and the shar' and their relationship. Wiftiqaru ahadihima ila al-akhar, and the need for one and the other. They need each other, the aql and the shar'. 19th, fi fadilat al-shar', in the virtue of sacred law. The 20th, bayan anna man lam yatakhassas bishar' wa ibadah man lam bishar' wa ibadat ar-rabbi falaysa bi insan, the one who does not practice the sharia and devotional practice to his Lord, they lose their humanity. Yata'allaqu bishar' min af'al al-insan, the 21st is what's related to the sharia from the actions of the human being. Tahqiq al-ibadah, the 22nd chapter, is how to achieve devotional practice. Anwa' al-ibadah, 23rd, the types of ibadah, min ilm wal-amal, knowledge and action, because he's very committed to knowledge. He considers it the single most important thing for the human being in his achievement of his humanity or her humanity. The 24th chapter, al-gharad min al-ibadah wa tathhir al-nafs wa ijtilab sihhatiha, the purpose of ibadah, purification of the soul, and acquiring the acquisition of the health of the soul. The 25th is amrad, clarifying the diseases and the foulness of that can only be removed by sacred law. القوة التي يجب إزالة أمراضها, the powers that are needed to remove the sicknesses of the heart and their pollutants and the meanings that will achieve that. كون الإنسان مفطوراً على إصلاح النفس. The fact that the human being by his nature is made to rectify his soul. The 28th سبب رذيلة الإنسان. Why human vice is prevalent in the human being and why he delays himself from practicing virtue. 29 أحوال الناس ومنازلهم في تعاطي الأفعال المحمودة والمذمومة وطرقها. The stations of the human being in acquiring praiseworthy actions and also the blameworthy and their ways. The 30th chapter, ارتداد الإنسان عن طريق الخير والشر. Human being, how they retrograde on the path of both good and evil. The 31st, قدر ما في الوسع من اكتساب السعادة. What's necessary, just the amount that's needed to achieve felicity. And then the 32nd, إثبات المعاد وفضيلة الموت. The veracity of the afterlife and also the virtue of death. وما يحصل بعده له من السعادة and what occurs after death from felicity. And then finally, فضل الإنسان إذا شرف على الملك. The virtue of the human being when he's honored above the angels themselves. So those are the chapters. They're not long, but they're really stunning. This next chapter, the introduction is good, but the next chapter is actually just an incredible chapter. So any questions? We have a little time, I think. Any questions? Fadli. The what? Abolition of Man? Yeah, there's a book by C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book called The Abolition of Man, which is about the loss of virtue and the loss of what we would call the, you know, Sharia, sacred law. He calls it the Tao, you know, that human beings have lost their fitrah and that they're becoming empty people. He calls them men without chests. They become empty, mediocre people. And he taught, you know, Kierkegaard in this present age, he talks about, you know, that the ancients, they were such that if a man would risk his life for something and he achieved it, they would honor him and exalt. He said now, modern people, he said, their heroes are people that pretend to risk their life, right? We call them actors. So he said they're like somebody who skates well, And he pretends to get near where it's dangerous to skate, and everybody says, ooh, ah. But it's not. It's all phony. I mean, there was a time when people, the heroes of people in this country, were statesmen, were philosophers, were great philanthropists, teachers, things like that. Now it's people want to be famous or be actors or have a YouTube channel. Amazing. Without accomplishing anything. Like, To be a celeb. There's people that aspire to be a celebrity. Like that's their aspiration. There's people that are famous for simply being famous. They're nothing. Just famous for being famous. Any other? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask what the relationship between sa'ad and guidance is.
I mean, hidayah, I mean, there's different words for guidance, but the main one that's used, huda lil muttaqin in the Quran, is hidayah, which is related to gift. You know, hadiyah is a gift. The Prophet is al-hadi, majazan, al-hadi al-haqiqi, innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. Like in Allah says, tahdi ila sirat al-mustaqim. So the Prophet is the hadi majazan. It's, Allah is the true guide, but the Prophet is his vicegerent, and he guides humanity. All the prophets are guides. So the relationship is that real joy in this world is having guidance. It's like the Prophet ﷺ said about a man who, it's in Sahih Bukhari, about a man who's in the desert and he loses his camel and he thinks he's going to die. And then he finds his camel. And he's in such intense joy that he shouts, "Allahumma anta abdu wa ana rabbuka." Oh Allah, I'm you're my slave and I'm your servant. The Prophet said, "Akhta'a min shiddati farihihi." He made a mistake. He was so happy that he said, "Oh God, you're my servant, I'm your Lord." He meant, "You're my Lord and I'm your servant," but out of his absolute joy, he uttered that ecstatic statement. So the Prophet said that is what Allah wants from us, is that tawbah, is that joy of finding God, you know, that will save you in the desert of the dunya. You know, your zad and your raqib. The hajj, what do you need for hajj? You need the zad and the raqib. That's it. If you have those two, it's wajib on you. So that's the hajj, is going back to the house of Allah to kiss the stone which represents yameen Allah fil ard. It's like going to the king and then they kiss the hand of the king. So that's the journey back to Allah. It's that we're all on a pilgrimage. This is the dunya. We're on the pilgrimage to Allah. And we're going karhan aw ta'an, what willingly or unwillingly, we're all going back to Allah. We're all going back. People can say it's that there's no afterlife. That's fine. They can say that. But that doesn't mean it's not true. That doesn't mean it's true. They can say it. There's no afterlife. Doesn't mean it's true. I mean, we can be in here. I can say it's not raining outside and it's raining. Doesn't mean just because I'm saying it. So, and Allah says, "Intadhiru inni ma'akum min al-muntadhirin." Wait, I'm waiting with you. We're all going to see. So there's believers, there's disbelievers, and then there's the people that wave between the two. But he'll show you in this book why it's foolish not to believe in the afterlife. And he'll show you in this book why, if you believe in Allah sincerely and if you set out on this path, he'll open things up to you to where you'll have a certainty in your heart. You won't have doubts. Anything else? What time is it? Okay. What time's the iftar? 7:20. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wal 'asri innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad. طبر القلوب ودوائها وعافية الأبدان وشفائها ونور الأبصار وضيائها وقدر الأرواح وهدائها وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الحمد لله. اللهم بارك في هذا الإمام وجعل قبره روضة من رياض الجنة. اللهم اشرح قبره ونوره. اللهم أنفعنا به يا أرحم الراحمين. إن شاء الله جعل في قلوبنا الهمة لسلوك هذه الشقة إليكم يا رحم يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.